I believe that Genesis 22 is one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible. I know that I have many times in a revival setting, but preachers of old would say that the story in the New Testament of the prodigal son is one of the most used portion of scriptures in a revival type setting. And I would say if that is the case in the New Testament, I would be safe to say I believe that this story of Abraham and Isaac would be that of the Old Testament. At this point, we understand that Abraham is an old man and much has transpired in his life. We find that he and Lot have now been separated and Ishmael has been born. And many have said, well, why in the world would God say that, refer to Isaac as his Abraham's only son? Well, I understand there was the son of Ishmael, but Isaac was considered the only son because Isaac was that son that would fulfill the covenant of God. And God saw Isaac as his only son. We find the events of Sodom and Gomorrah have now taken place, and Isaac, that promised son, is born. I love this this story here and about that ultimate sacrifice. And Abraham doesn't hesitate for one moment doing exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. I like those couple of verses there where that lad Isaac, he said, Father, he said, the fire and the wood I see, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And I love that very prophetical statement that Abraham makes. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And aren't you thankful this evening, child of God, that God did provide himself a lamb when he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin. And we find here that the beauty of this story is similar to the likeness of God offering his son as a sacrifice. As I've read this story many times now, the Lord's allowed me to at least read through my Bible 22 times, being saved now for 22 years. I've read my Bible through that many times. Maybe there was a few years where I've read it through a couple of times. And I've read this story many times before. I've preached from this portion of Scripture many times before. But as I was reading this portion of Scripture just not very long ago, there was a two-word phrase that was used in this portion of Scripture three times that stuck out to me like it had never stuck out to me before. And as God began to reveal a truth that he was trying to get across to me privately, I'm thankful tonight that God allows me to be able to give that truth to you publicly tonight. I want you to look at that two-word phrase again with me here this evening. Look at verse number 3 with me this evening. The Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning and sat his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto, here it is, the place of which God had told him. Look at verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, here it is the second time, the place afar off. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and they came to, here it is the third time, the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. That phrase that stuck out to me like it had never stuck out to me before was the place. That got me to thinking, that even began to, for me to have questions in my heart and even to research here in the Word of God. Well, what is that place that Abraham was supposed to get to? Those that know this story tonight, your answer was probably the same answer that I had before God gave me this truth. That place, we would all probably say, most of us would say, that place was Mount Moriah. But as I began to study and as God began to lay the truth on my heart, He ingrained it in my soul that the Mount Moriah was the location that Abraham was supposed to get to. But there was a spiritual place that God wanted Abraham to get to. And I want you to look at that spiritual place with me. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now, here's the place, I believe, with all my heart. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Can we be reminded? Abraham, up to this point, has done everything that God had commanded him to do without question. Think about it with me. Abraham and Isaac go up there on that mountain. Isaac follows the voice of the Lord, and Abraham follows the voice of the Lord, and we find that as we read this portion of Scripture, Isaac is bound on that altar. Abraham even goes as far back to take that knife and stretches forth his hand, prepared to slay his son, doing exactly what the angel Lord said. And in an instant, that voice of the angel Lord comes out of heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham, causing him to stay his hand. The angel then tells Abraham, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Don't slay him. Don't hurt him. Don't even lay your hand upon him in a hurtful way. Why? Because Abraham feared God? Or why? Because Abraham loved God? He did, but that wasn't the reason. Why? Because Abraham was obedient to God? He was, but that wasn't the reason. Why? Because God came up with another idea. Not on your life, God came up with another idea. I believe tonight with all my heart that God stopped Abraham because Abraham had gotten to the place where God wanted him to be, and that spiritual place where God wanted Abraham to get to was, for now I know that thou fearest God. And can I say tonight, I believe with all my heart that God not only wanted Abraham to get to that spiritual place, but he wants every man, woman, boy, and girl on the sound of my voice tonight to get to that place and to stay at that place where we fear God above everything else. Can I say, your pastor's preached it, I've preached it, we've all tried to live it, especially from March of last year to this year, that we're not going to live in fear, but we're going to live by faith. And I'm thankful tonight that I can live by faith. Can we be reminded? It is displeasing to our Heavenly Father when His children do not have faith in Him, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For He that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible also says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Many want to know, what is that substance? That substance is the Word of God, amen. And I'm glad tonight that every promise in the book is mine, every jot, every tittle, every line. And my friend, when God gives us a promise, thank God He will come through with that promise. Amen. But we're not to live in fear, but we're to live by faith. But there is one that we ought to all fear, and that is the God that sits on His throne tonight. Amen. I want to preach for the next few minutes on this subject. Having faith to fear. The Bible has much more to say about this subject of fearing God than I have time to give it tonight. But let me just give us a few scripture that does talk about the subject of fearing God. For instance, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 8, verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 1 and verse number 29. For they that hated knowledge and did not, choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse number 25, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I really like Psalm 103, verse number 11. The Bible says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I also really like Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And can I say tonight, the Bible very clearly tells you and I that we should get to that place and stay at that place where we fear God. Amen. When I think about the subject of fearing God, there are three words that come to my mind when I think about the subject of fearing God. For instance, the word awe comes to mind when I think about fearing God. The word A-W-E, awe. My wife and I have been able to be out, go out west quite a few times, and I've preached out there, and we love the beauty out west, especially in Colorado. And every time we go out to Colorado, we want to go and see those Rocky Mountains, amen. And when I go to see the Rocky Mountains, I just stand there in awe and look at those Rocky Mountains, and I think about the very God of heaven, the creator that sits in heaven, created those mountains. But the same God that created those mountains is the same God that created me, and is the same God that allows my heart to beat and my brain to function. And I just stand in awe as I see those Rocky Mountains, and stand in awe and realize that there is a God in heaven that created all of those things. And child of God, can I say, I never want to get to the place where I lose the all of it all being saved by the grace of God. Amen. I want to be at that place where I stand in awe. Second word that comes to my mind is the word respect. The word respect when it talks about fearing God. For instance, I respect electricity, amen. Aren't you thankful for electricity today, amen? I'm thankful that we have light to be able to see. I'm thankful for air conditioning, amen. I'm thankful for all things electricity provides. But can I say, not only do I respect what electricity does for me, I also respect it in its manner. If there were some loose wires hanging somewhere in this building, I would not go grab those loose wires, because the same electricity that gives me light is the same electricity that can give me the shock of my life. Amen. If I go and grab those loose wires, can I say tonight, my friend, you and I should respect God, because thank God the Bible says the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come to give life and to give life more abundantly. And I'm thankful that the God of heaven gives me life, but can we also be reminded he is the same God of heaven that not only gives us life, but also can take our life, amen. Number three, look at it with me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 14. Still laying a foundation here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 14. Look at verse number 23. When I think about the subject of fearing God, there's three words that come to mind. The word awe, A-W-E, the word respect, and also the word trust, the word trust. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now, I understand the context of the scripture. It's speaking about the tithe. And let me just stop right there and say this to maybe somebody that needs to hear it tonight. Maybe there's somebody on the sound of my voice, for the life, maybe a new Christian. You just, for the life of you, you cannot comprehend the concept of tithing and how we give God 10% and we keep back 90%, and how that 90% goes further than if we rob God and keep back 100%. And you want somebody to fully explain it to you. Can I say, there's nobody that can fully explain in detail the concept of tithing and how we give God 10%, how it goes further with the 90% that we keep. But my friend, it's just our job just to trust God and obey God. And when we trust God to the point where we fear Him above everything else, we will not mind giving God our time and our talents and our treasures. And it's amazing that we as God's children, we will trust God with our eternal soul, but we cannot trust Him to give Him our time and our talents and our treasures. You understand tonight, church, the fear of God is not us being afraid of God, but us having a high and exalted reverential view of God. Can I ask us tonight, when's the last time we, in all reality, stood in awe of His majesty? We stood in awe of His power and His wisdom and His justice and His mercy. I'm talking about we stood in awe to dwell upon His glorious holiness, which is the very opposite of sin and evil, and to revere God and know that He loves us so much that He desires for us to hate and turn away from sin. I guarantee you tonight, if I were to ask each and every one of us here tonight that are saved by the grace of God, how many of us love God? Every single one of us would raise our hand and say, yes, I love God. But can I say, to truly fear God to the extent that we love God is also to the extent that we hate sin and hate Satan, my friend. And we must get to that place where we stand in awe of God. I want to talk to us tonight. Turn our Bibles back to Genesis in 22. Now, we understand tonight, on any journey that we go on any journey, there is a starting place and there is an ending place. And the journey is not over until we have reached that place. Here in just a little while, after the service is over here in a little while, my wife and I will make our journey towards Horn Lake, Mississippi, where my mom and dad live. And we'll Lord willing, and by the good grace of God, we'll end up at that place of our destination. But before we get to that place, there are some landmarks that we will pass by before we get to that place of Horn Lake, Mississippi. You understand? There was a starting place in Abraham's life before he got to his final destination of fearing God above everything else. But before he got to that place, there were some landmarks that he had to stop by as well. And let's stop by a few of those landmarks this evening. I want you to look at it with me tonight. Look at Genesis 22. Look at verse number 1 with me tonight. Look at Genesis 22 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Can I say, the first landmark that Abraham stopped by before he got to the place of fearing God above everything else, he stopped by that landmark of surrender. He stopped by the landmark of surrender. And when the angel of the Lord told Abraham what to do, he was surrendered to do what God had told him to do. I'm reminded of a story of the very first pastor that I ever preached revival for, and the Lord's allowed me to be able to go back now these last 14 years. Brother J.D. Weedo, that pastors the Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. And Brother Wido tells the story of how when he was a teenage boy and his dad pastored there in the state of Texas, and they were having a revival, and there was an evangelist there by the name of Joe Boyd that was there in revival that week. And after Sunday service, he got through preaching Sunday service, the Wido family invited Brother Boyd over to their home to eat lunch. Brother Boyd was sitting next to the young teenage J.D. Wido at that time, and as they were eating lunch there that day, he said, "Young man," he said, "what do you want to do with your life?" And Brother Wido, his dad had some dairy cows, and he not only wanted to buy those dairy cows, but he wanted to buy even more dairy cows and become a dairy farmer. And he said, "Well, Brother Boyd," he said, "I want to be a dairy farmer." He said, "There's nothing wrong with being a dairy farmer's son," he said, "but have you ever asked God what he wanted to do in your life?" And Brother Wido's story was that he kind of let that go in one ear and out the other when Brother Boyd made that statement. He said, "Brother Boyd preached a revival that week. Brother Boyd packed his bags, and Brother Boyd left town." He said, "Brother Boyd left town." He said, "but the Holy Spirit did not leave town." And he said for weeks and months on end, he would go to bed at night, he would toss and turn, and that still small voice of God said, "Have you ever considered what I want to do with your life?" And he said after a few months of tossing and turning every night, fighting the call of God, he didn't know it was the call of God at that time, he just came down to an old-fashioned altar, and he said, "God," he said, "I have no idea what you want to do in my life. I have no idea if you want me to be a dairy farmer. I have no idea if you want me to be a," his dad was a state trooper, he said, "I have no idea if you want me to be a state trooper, but God, whatever you want to do in my life, I lay my life on the altar and I surrender my life to you." Can I say, my friend, there's nothing wrong with doing secular work as long as that what God wants you to do and as long as we bring honor and glory to God. But can I ask us tonight, have we ever stopped by that landmark where we surrendered our life to God and said, "God, whatever you want to do in my life, it's yours to begin with"? Amen. Can I say he stopped by that landmark of surrender? We're not certain as what words God used to get Abraham's attention, but he did get Abraham's attention. The Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. In this instance, tempt means to test or to prove. And as we know from the book of James, God does not tempt anyone with or to do evil. But the important thing is not exactly all the words that God used, but rather Abraham's response. And his response was, "Behold, here I am." His immediate response to whatever God said was, "Here I am." You understand, he was a surrendered man already from past experiences. He was yielded to the power and the authority of God. He had already given in to God. God did not hesitate to ask a big thing from Abraham. And in verse number 2, Abraham did not hesitate to respond in the proper way in verse number 3. The Bible says that he rose up and went. Can I say what America needs tonight is America needs God's children to be surrendered to the will of God. Can I say tonight it is the will of God for his children to be at the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It is God's will for his children to live clean and holy and to witness the lost sinners. My friend, can I say tonight, when's the last time we've been surrendered to do whatever God wants us to do? Amen. Number 2, look at it with me. Number 2, look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here the ass, and I am the lad. Will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Can I say, not only did Abraham stop by that landmark of surrender, but number 2, he stopped by the landmark of service. He stopped by the landmark of service. As I read these verses, there was a couple things that stood out to me. Abraham's surrender affected his service. And true service is always preceded by surrender. By service, I'm talking about the duty at hand or the business at hand. Look what verse number 5 tells us that his service was. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and," look at this next word, "worship and come again to you." You understand, his service to God was worship. Could we imagine tonight what was going through Abraham's mind as him and Isaac were going up that mountain? It was about a 50-mile journey, start to finish, and it took several days, plenty of time for Abraham to get distracted in the way. Plenty of time and opportunity for Abraham to talk himself out of what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But the Bible says he stayed the course. His focus was on his service of worshiping God. Can I say tonight, sadly to say, from last year of March to this year, sadly to say, there are some casualties in this war. But there are some that's just put their pegs down and said, yes, it may be a difficult time for my family. It may be a difficult time in what the world's going through, but I'm just going to continue to live for God and serve God no matter what comes my way. And my friend, can I say, there was a lot going on in Abraham's mind, and he was going up there to offer his son as a burnt sacrifice, but his true service to God was not offering his son as a sacrifice, but his true service was, I'm going up there to worship the God that sits on his throne, amen. Can I say tonight, it is one thing for God's children to worship God publicly in the church house. It's one thing for us to sing our praises to God. It's one thing for us to be at church. It's one thing for us to give our tithes and our offerings and worship God within the church building. But can I say, God not only deserves, but he also desires for his children not to just worship him on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but my friend, he wants us to worship him tomorrow morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, my friend. It's one thing to worship him publicly, but my friend, if that's the only time we worship God, we're missing out big time, amen. He wants us and he desires for us to worship with him privately as well. Look at verse number 9 through verse number 11. Look at verse number 9 through verse number 11. The Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Can I say that third landmark that Abraham got to, or he stopped by before he got to the place, he stopped by the landmark of sacrifice. The landmark of sacrifice. The word sacrifice means to destroy. It means to surrender or suffer to be lost for the sake of obtaining something. Abraham had surrendered or destroyed so much of his plans up to this point in his life. God had been directing his every step and his every move. Abraham sacrificed living near his family in chapter 12. He sacrificed his relationship and his fellowship with nephew Lot. And God had changed his plans by promising him a son and that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And now after his whole life being directed and laid out by God, God now asks him the ultimate ask, and that is to sacrifice your son. Again, we find this is the only instance in the Bible where God asked this of a man. Why would God ask Abraham such a thing? I believe because God knew that Abraham would do it. And Abraham's journey to that place of fearing God brought him by the landmark of sacrifice. But can we be reminded? Sacrifice was nothing new to Abraham. Matter of fact, his whole life was one big sacrifice. Did Abraham really think that God was going to have him slay his own son? Again, his actions speak much louder than his words. But nowhere in this portion of Scripture do we see that Abraham was scared or shaking or fighting the urge. Can I say tonight, church, the reason that Abraham was able to follow through to the fullest of what the angel of the Lord told Abraham to do is because Abraham knew that Isaac was not his to begin with. Amen. And can I say, it is a good day as a blood-bought child of God when we come to the realization that if we're saved by the grace of God, no longer we are our own, but we've been bought with a price, and we are to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, and my friend, we are to be willing to sacrifice. Many people say, well, I'll die for God. Can I say, God is not asking us to die for Him. He's just asking us to live for Him. Amen. I guarantee you tonight, if I were to ask every man that's the head of their home tonight, how many of us would like to be filled with the Spirit of God to lead our homes? Every single one of us would raise our hands. But may we be reminded, there has to be a fatality of self before there can be a filling of the Spirit. And Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Can I say he stopped by those three landmarks? He stopped by the landmark of surrender. He stopped by the landmark of service. And he stopped by the landmark of sacrifice. And as a result, let me just give you one last truth here tonight. There's quite a few more truths in here, but I just want to give you this last truth. Look at verse number 12 with me tonight. The Bible says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. As a result of Abraham stopping by the landmark of surrender and service and sacrifice, as a result, his faith became sight. His faith became sight. You understand, once Abraham had come to the little place that God wanted him, things began to become more clear in his mind. You understand, what started out in faith was now coming into clear sight. His submission was in faith. His service was in faith. His sacrifice was in faith. But now that faith had become sight. I was preaching in Indiana a few weeks ago under the tent, and there was a couple that got up and sang a song that night before I got up to preach, and they were singing on this portion of Scripture right here. And the gist of the song was, as Abraham and Isaac were going up one side of the mountain, God was sending a ram on the other side of that mountain, my friend. And can I tell you, God just wants us to get to that place where we fear God above everything else, but along the way, we're going to have to stop by some landmarks. Amen. Let me give us one last truth. That'll be the last time I lie to you when I say it's over. Amen. I want you to look at verse number 19. Look at this with me. Look at this with me. This is for moms and dads and those of us, maybe some young person is looking at us. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I don't base what commentaries say to find out what the Bible says. The Bible says, the Bible defines the Bible is what I'm trying to say. But if you read and study commentaries, when you're studying Scripture, most commentaries will say that the only one mentioned more about his coming than Isaac was Jesus Christ himself. And in all these verses that I read tonight, verse number 1 through verse number 14, the entire Scripture is talking about Abraham and Isaac. And all the verses was talking about Abraham and Isaac. But verse number 19, look at the wording there. It says, so Abraham returned unto his young men. I would think if the only one mentioned more about his coming than Isaac was Jesus Christ, and all these portions, all these verses right here was speaking about Abraham and Isaac. And then verse number 19, it says, so Abraham returned to his young men. I began to look at that and say, well, why in the world doesn't it say, so Abraham and Isaac returned to his young men? And I just began to imagine there that day as Abraham and Isaac were up there on that mountain, and Abraham bound Isaac on that altar. And Isaac's looking up at his father as he draws back the knife. And I can just imagine how big his eyes were. And all of a sudden, Abraham stays with that knife. And all of a sudden, Abraham leaves and goes and gets that ram and kills the ram, unbinds Isaac from that altar and puts that ram on the altar and offers that ram in the stead of Isaac, his son. I can just imagine after everything was said and done there that day, and Abraham was getting ready to go back down to the bottom of the mountain. Isaac may have said to his daddy, he said, Daddy, if it's okay with you, I'd just like to stay up here on this mountain. And I would just like to praise God that he provided a substitute in my stead. And can I say lastly tonight, those that have children and those of us that maybe some young person is looking to tonight, my friend, it's very important that every one of us get to that place and stay at that place. Because I guarantee you there's a second generation watching us. And my friend, the location was Mount Moriah. But that spiritual place where Abraham was to get to, and I believe with all my heart tonight, as God has settled my heart, he wants every one of us to get to that place and stay at that place where we fear God above everything else. And when we fear God the way we should fear God, not a dictatorship type of fear. I'm just talking about a love for God like we've never had before. Can I say when we fear God, we won't fear men, amen? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as we stand all across the building tonight. As we stand all across the building. Here's the invitation. Here's the invitation tonight. Maybe there's some here tonight that need to get to this place where God would have us to get to of fearing Him. That's the invitation for you tonight. If you're not at that place, why don't we come tonight and pray that God will get us to that place? Those that may be here tonight that you're at that place where you fear God above everything else, why don't we come tonight and we beg and ask God to keep us at the place where we fear Him above everything else. As the pianist begins to play, can I ask us tonight, if God has spoken to your heart, somewhere between your pew and this altar, why don't we just do some business with the Lord tonight? Young people, adults alike, let's ask God not only to get us to that place, but for us to stay at the place where we fear God.